prayer series. It is a bit ongoing. I was going to do sort of two or three, and the more I've looked at prayer, funnily enough, the more there is. Here's the plan. The next series that we want to do is the Sermon on the Mount. That's going to be quite a long series, because basically the Sermon on the Mount is about what it is like to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. We really think kingdom of God, that idea of what does the kingdom of God look like, is a key thing for us to grapple with. So the Sermon on the Mount is a really good starting place of what does it look like? What do those citizens look like? So that is coming as soon as I feel that I've sort of finished telling you what I think God is saying to us at the moment about prayer. So, prayer series. So, this week is called Getting Serious About Prayer. I just sort of put these things down, you know, in the program a bit further ahead, and then see what comes off. But this actually is quite a good title. It is Getting Serious About Prayer. Now, this is the title of this session, In the Secret Place. And what I want to do is, I'm just going to tell you now some of the sort of things I'm going to be talking about. Because, you know, I know, you know, people are busy and they're on shifts and you've got young children, you're up late and all, and it can be difficult to focus on some old bloke at the front droning on for all that time. But I want to plan something, right? When I've been wrestling with this prayer thing, I really felt that the Father was saying, tell them about the secret place. And I was like, what? Because I had all these books and I was going to do all this study. And I just felt the Father was saying, tell them about the secret place. And here's the thing. You all have a secret place where the Father is waiting to meet with you. And it would be easy for this talk and the sort of guy I am to be a bit heavy and a bit sort of challenging and a bit sort of, why aren't you doing it? But here's the thing, this is an invitation. The Father is inviting you to come into that place with him, individually, to meet with him. I would almost go so far as to say he's waiting there. And that's not a guilt thing. That's his Father's heart. And my encouragement, what I'm going to try and unpack through this talk is where Jesus talks about this and how we can think about engaging with that. But that is the thing. So if you just get one thing from today, can you just get this? Father is inviting you to meet with him in that secret place, in that place where there's just you and him. You know, we gather here together. You don't come to church, you are church. We gather here together, as it's called, but you have got this amazing privilege and blessing of walking with the Holy Spirit, of walking with God, getting to know him. Anyway, right, so here we go. Going to be looking at Matthew 6:6. That's the verse we're going to be looking at. Let's just pray. Father, I really ask that your Holy Spirit would take this, Lord. You know the history of this. Father, I ask, Father, for all of us to just, that your Holy Spirit would open up our hearts to your word, not my word, Lord, would open up our hearts to your word, and you would plant something in us, Lord. You would plant something in us, Father God. And you would bless your word to us now, Father, in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit, anoint your word. Okay, let me tell you a bit about the context of this chapter, this bit of reading we're going to be looking at. It follows the Sermon on the Mount, but that's not really, you can't get too hung up in that in Matthew. You can't get too strict about it, because what Matthew has done, oh man, we'll look at this when we do the Sermon on the Mount. He's written this book so beautifully. He's got all the, he structured it in different sections. All right, sorry, slow down. I was told last week I got too fast. Sorry, Jackie. He structures it. And what he does with the Sermon on the Mount is that he takes teaching that Jesus would have put all over the place and he brings it all together. So you've got this kingdom manual in one place. So when I say it follows the Sermon on the Mount, part of what I'm going to be saying is This bit of reading is the Lord's Prayer. That's in a different place in Luke. So you say, well, what's all that about? And it's because the authors, they put the books together in different ways according to the audience and the needs that they're trying to meet. Anyway, so this bit we're going to look at, it follows the Sermon on the Mount, and he's speaking to quite a big crowd. It says in the text, see, the day before this, it says there have been a lot of healings, and God was really moving. And people were coming, and it tells you where people were coming from, and basically it is from across the country. Because it was down south in Judea and Jerusalem, Galilee up north was 50, 60 miles away, Decapolis, which is over on the right-hand side, and the other side of the Jordan. So it's north, south, east, and west. People from all over the nation have come to see what this Jesus guy is about, to bring healing, to bring people for healing. So he's got this huge crowd. He spent a day of healing and that, and you'd think really he'd be exhausted, but it says that he wanted to teach more, because the healing and the power was one thing, but explaining and opening him up to the Father's heart of God, was the big deal. So they sat down and told them. So here we go. We're going to read Matthew 6. Yes. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Just ponder that verse a minute. I'm not sure what's going on now. Okay. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. We might need to review this whole arrangement. One more. I did it twice then. Another one. It's taken a while to load, is it? That's a shame. Right. Forget that. Technology. Can we go back to OHPs? Right. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. It causes us to sort of ponder the word, doesn't it, really? You see, from now on, I'm going back to black on white. I thought, I'll do white on black, because, you have white on, you have it the other way around, the boring one all the time. And this is what happens when you, yes, I think that'd be good, mate. This is what happens when you try and do this high-tech stuff with this up-to-the-second graphics. Thank goodness we haven't got rabbits walking across or whatever. Right, truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Okay, we're in Woodville Baptist Church, for those of you who've already given up the ghost on this. I'll carry on reading off my notes, all right? But when you pray, so Matthew 6:6, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, or they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And the verse I'm looking at, as I said at the beginning, is Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I want to read you the message Ah, there we are. Cool. Thank you very much. Okay, so. Okay, so that's the verse we're going to be looking at. And this is the Message version. I love this. I love this. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God and you'll begin to sense His grace. Now, you can look at that for a minute. That is beautiful. See, what Jesus is dealing with, first of all, this is a number of levels here, okay? There's a number of levels going on. So what he's dealing with, first of all, is the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, the religious mindset that thought, I want people to see how holy I am. All right, so he's puncturing that, and that's what he says about the giving, and he goes through that rhythm, and then he says about the prayer, and he goes through that rhythm. And he's pointing out that God's not impressed by that. But God is impressed by that. This is not seen. But with Jesus, and I say, get into the Gospels and just wait on the Lord and the levels that come out. But then Jesus opens up a whole new dimension in this, which this starts to bring out. Because it's not just our hypocrisy. It's not just the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. You see, to us, it's not a massive temptation, I'm guessing, to go out on the streets and pray out loud and be thought of rather marvellous and wonderful. Rather, maybe a bit crazy. If you go out there and you start praying to God. So probably that temptation isn't there for us. But what temptation is there? Still, to not be real before God. To be hypocritical in a different way. I was really challenged the other day. I was telling someone about Jesus. I was thinking, okay, I'm going to tell this person whatever. And then I just said, I have this sense of how much do I know the Lord? How much have I invested in being in His presence? How much have I taken so that I'm not speaking off the top with other experiences and stuff? How much have I done that? And there's a bit of, it's easy to be a bit hypocritical and unreal in that. And I love that where he says, so you won't be tempted to role play before God, showing off to others. But also the challenge just to yourself. Okay. Let's have the next one then. So I'm just going to work through this in a few... I'm just going to ask some questions basically around it. And I'm just using the sort of... what, where, how sort of stuff, you know. So what... What's it all about? Jesus says, go to this room to meet your father. He actually gives an instruction. So part of it is to go away from the public thing. And now we're going to the next level. He's saying, go to the room to meet your father. Now, to me, that expression from my childhood has got a bit of a negative element to it. Go to your room and wait till your father comes home. And I'm up there filling my suitcase. I'm looking at... I'm hitchhiking all the way to Pontyclun to get away or something. So go to your room. But this has got promise in it. This has got promise in it. Yeah? Go into your room, close the door, and pray to your father who is unseen. Then your father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. He's saying, your father's going to be there. Your father's going to see it. Pray to your father. Go in and talk to your father. And he's actually, to me, he's setting up this sense of promise and expectancy. The father wants to meet you there. The father wants you to make that decision. Say, I'm going to put this time aside. I'm going to do this, whatever. I want to meet with the father. He wants to hear from you. He wants to speak from you. To speak with you. He wants to interact with you. He wants to have time with you. He wants that. God Almighty wants that. And there's a lovely wordplay going on here which I think speaks of a place of vision. Now, I don't want to over-egg the pudding. You know, I don't want to beat this up too much. So I'll, you know, you make your decision. But this works for me. The word that's used for that secret room, if you have the next slide, that storeroom, you go into this secret room, it's temion. And it basically speaks of a dispensary or a magazine, in other words, a magazine where stuff is stored, yeah? A chamber on the ground floor or interior of an oriental house, generally used for storage or privacy or a spot for retirement. A secret chamber, a closet, a storehouse. And the next one? And in Luke 12:24, where Jesus is saying, don't worry, he says, look, the ravens, they have no storehouse. They've got nowhere where they keep their clothes and their food and their stuff, but God clothes them. So there's an element in here of go into the place. Go into that place. Go into a storehouse. Go into a place where you receive. Go into a place where God is able to give you. Remember, a few weeks ago, I was speaking on just give thanks for the day and how it's worked for me. Of you just first thing in the morning, say, Lord, thank you for today. I receive this day from you. Would you give me what I need for today? And to me, this is in that same sort of thing. It's you meet with God. He wants to give you what you need. How often do we struggle through and realize we're in the situation that we haven't asked? You do not have because you do not ask. We're in relationship with Father. It's not just some sort of auto bop, 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 bop thing. There's an interaction the Father wants, even though, as it says, he knows what you want before. He knows it. He's God. It's not, oh, yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah, you wanted one of those. I forgot about that. He wants to give, and he wants to be in that. He wants you to come into that place. Okay. Why? Well, first of all, if you're getting a bit sort of peaked with this now, your argument is not with me. If you're thinking I'm being a bit religious, I'm really just trying to be open to what I believe Jesus is saying through this. Where Jesus is saying, get into that place. So you need to take it back to him and have a chat with him, buddy. And this is what I said at the earliest, an invitation the way I see it. I'm not saying, why aren't all of you at 5 o'clock in the morning in a shed in the garden for 3 hours? I'm not trying to be prescriptive on this. I'll share a bit about what works for me. I'm just saying there is a secret place for you and the Father's waiting. Over to you. Jesus put it like this. Jesus framed the whole Lord's Prayer. Later on, we look at the Lord's Prayer. It comes after this. Jesus framed this whole Lord's Prayer before this. Get into that place. And then, just in terms of this, remember Mary and Martha. So Mary's sitting at his feet. Thank you to Judy for raising this during the week. It really spoke to me. We had our staff prayer meeting. Mary, you know, was doing all this stuff, and Martha's surfing. Why doesn't she help me? She said, he knew there was lots to be done. He doesn't say you're wrong for doing stuff. Mary and Martha, go and look it up if you don't know what I'm talking about. But Mary spent time at his feet listening. She listened to the rabbi, and then she went and served, I'm guessing. And again, how often do we serve? We seek to serve. We seek to move. We seek to help. We seek to bless without actually just taking that time to get what we need from God who wants to give. And then we wonder why, oh, that didn't work. Okay? And it's about communication. Now, communication obviously is needed to develop any relationship. And I will keep banging on about this. Because we are in a relationship with Father God. And the Holy Spirit is to enable us to do that. We walk with the Holy Spirit. But any relationship without communication, you know. And there's no substitute for this. There's no substitute. You know, there's lots of apps where you can learn. You know, there's Bible apps and there's lots. And I use those things and some of them are fantastic. And there's, you know, daily readings and all that. And none of that is a substitute for that time. You have all been given the same amount of time. There's no substitute for that. If Jan and I tried to run our marriage on the basis of, well, you know, I know about her and I got these facts here. I mean, I don't actually need to meet with her or anything. We don't actually need to meet up or anything. You know, we can live totally separate lives. Every now and then we can communicate. Not actually a relationship. It's an arrangement. You need to maybe just take this back. See, Lord, where am I in this relationship? All right. I know there are seasons when it seems like that. You just have to get through it because kids and stuff and stuff and stuff. What I'm saying is the long-term, bottom-line default is not going to work. We need to develop our relationship with God. It takes time. Okay, no, that's not working. Don't play with that. And then continual prayer comes from this. Now, I'm sorry to blow your edge here, but it's... Wait a minute. I'm just getting my head around the fact I've got to meet with God, you know, a few times a week or whatever it is. Continual prayer? Yeah. We'll just cover this very quickly, this idea of continual prayer. Gasp. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always, pray continually. The way they split that verse up is crazy, isn't it? Those are different verses. Rejoice always, a verse. Pray continually, a verse. Give thanks in all circumstances, a verse. Pray continually. How? Do you ever come out of the shed? How does that work? Okay, well, it might not be like this. Father, I just pray, yeah, and I just want to bless this place. Yeah, oh yeah, I'll pray by credit card, yeah, check it out. And Father, it's just going to be so amazing. Oh, no, you want to, yeah, pin number. Oh, thank you. Well, can you pack as well, yeah? Yeah, well, this is just so amazing, Lord, right? That's probably not appropriate. What might be more appropriate, maybe, is, internally praying, Father, just thank you. Thank you for where I am. Oh, there's this shop assistant. Oh, it looks like her hand is really sore or something. Do you want me to... Oh, drat. Okay, the Lord's asking me to pray for this person. But quietly. Just spending that time. In other words, what I'm saying is, it's coming from scriptures that we should pray continually. But it's actually an easy thing. But you will have to have some points, some fixed points that feed into that. See what I'm saying? That's what I found. And so if I have a time with the Lord and more, and that sort of feeds in, and I've got some scriptures or something to sort of think about, that feeds in, and I can be thinking about it, you know. We'll come back to this, because this break continue, that's a big thing then. What I'm saying is that it comes out of relationship, and it saves you from those situations where you think, oh, this is going to happen. I need to pray. Oh, I'm not right with God. I've got to sort myself out. Right, I confess. Yeah, I should have done. Thank you, Lord. Oh, they've gone. Oh, never mind. Next time. I'll pray next time. Right, sorry. I'm going to put this away because I... Right, where? Where are you going to do this? Well, again, you don't have to build a storehouse. You don't have to actually build a room in your house that's got cupboards and stuff in it in a sort of first century house style. What you do need to find a place is where you can be free. Because one little twist in this is, of course, as Jesus did ministry, he didn't have a storeroom. So he was advising them, but if they were looking at his life and how to do it, he said, foxes have holes and the birds have nests. Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So he was sort of going from place to place. But he had got, it's maybe the next bit, he had got into the place of walking, this continual prayer, walking in the presence. But he still needed those times. He withdrew overnight, spent all night on a mountain. So the pattern, even though, you know, you're saying, well, Jesus didn't know how to do this, was the pattern of the focus time, the time of getting away, the giving the time, and then the walking in that. That's what I would say it would be a good aspiration for us. And finally, and that's about practicing his presence. But you need to be careful, I think, because there was a time, I remember someone come and preach to me, he said, oh, quiet time, no, all the time. And there is a truth in that. We're always walking with God, but you do need those times. You need the times where you just put everything else to a side. Go on. Thanks. It has to be a private place. You're not going to like this again, but something I would say, just forget of every other interference. You know, don't bring the device in with you. If you've got something on it and you've got the Bible on there, turn. You know, go off. Put airplane mode or something. Don't be interrupted just as you're moving and you feel a sense of God and you get a text saying your friend's had his dog's toenails clipped or something. Just cut yourself off. You know, the important stuff that comes through. Just honestly, this is my heart, and it's invitation. I don't want to get heavy with that. I don't want to be putting guilt on you. But what I'm saying is, if you're going to do it, just do it. Just make that. Make those sacrifices. Make those sacrifices. And what works for you? Here's a heck of a quote here. Decide, I resolve to devote an hour each morning, noon, and evening to pray, No pretense, no excuse whatsoever. Charles Wesley. Now, of course, Charles Wesley had a lot going on, you know. Well, I've just done that then, not as that is a model. That was the model he needed, working at the level that he was. But you need to make decisions. I think that is the key thing. If you wait until you feel like it, if you're anything like me, that time equals never. And this is part of me. I need routine. I need to be able to say, right, I'm going to do this. And I set it in. And when you start doing it, you know, and it becomes a habit in a good way, in other words, a sort of, you've almost got to think, well, I'm not going to do it. But you need to work through what works for you. This is not daily. This is not necessarily morning. It works for me in the morning. You just need to say, what is yours? It could be once a week. You know, I just want you to please just explore with the Spirit where you just get away with him and you just start to draw on that. And you take responsibility for your own walk. Triplets and home groups, great. You know, meeting together, great. But you have to take responsibility. The only person you're going to be responsible when you go before the Father is, what have you done with what I gave you? That's what he said to the servants. And this is why I will just lay this before you. And if you think I'm talking up sort of gunk, then that's okay. But it's over to you. You need to take responsibility for your own walk. And if there's something you think I need to learn about, you know, these days there's so much teaching out there you can find out. But fundamentally, I'm talking about making that time. Maybe using scripture, saying, speak to me through this. We're very fortunate having the scripture. Speak to me through this. Some things will feed in with this, you know, like it is good, you know, if you're driving and stuff like that, you can have tapes on of the Bible. But I would say that, unless you're nothing like me, that would not be the best thing. Because if you have an accident and then they say, why did you hit? And they say, well, I was having a quiet time with God. And I just felt his presence. I closed my eyes. imagine officer at the end of any sentence. It changes everything. So I would say that you need to work it through from yourself. If you accept that God is saying, I've got a place for you and I want you to be there, I want to meet with you, then that would be cool. Okay, next. Finally, the word you love. Right, just want to strengthen this business. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and then he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You see that there's an intentionality. I know we're hearing a lot about that word. There is a part of it. There's a part of this. It is not just see how it goes. I don't remember Jesus ever saying that expression, but it's a very, in our society, you know, it's pretty manana. Yeah, I'll just see. Don't get chill out, you know, whatever. No, chilling is good and all that sort of stuff. I'm a great believer in it. But for this is what I believe the Father is saying to us. He'll have some stuff to speak to us corporately, I believe, but individually, my invitation to you is come into the secret place. Work with me about what that looks like. But please, find that place for each of you. Treasure it. Because you will have a reward. And what is his reward? His reward is more of himself. His reward is revealing stuff to you. His reward is open up his word to you. Is giving you opportunities to bless others. Da, 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 da. It's huge. But without the first bit, you're not going to walk in all that. Okay. Like I said, I'm not trying to impose a model on you. I'm simply sharing. I've had to do this, like I've said before. When you're a pastor, certain things are expected. And it does throw you back on the Lord. And I'm doing stuff I wish I did years ago. Honestly, I wish I did years ago. So don't be like me and wait until you're called to be a pastor before you have to work this stuff out.